from the nation's capital. If it happens in America or anywhere in the world, you'll hear about it first here, right here. Now, your anchors, Chris Salcedo and Lori London.
America's Radio News Network.
It is 6 minutes past the top of the hour. You are tuned in to America's Radio News. Glad to have you along. I'm Chris Salcedo.
Welcome to the show. I'm Lori London. Great to have you with us on this Monday, January 24th. Here's what's happening.
We were spending a lot on credit cards. Everybody was borrowing a lot. Chinese were selling a lot to us.
President Obama says Americans spending more than they have is responsible for this disastrous economy.
The issue of who is a person under the Constitution is a debate that unfortunately defined this country for almost the first 100 years of the country and actually beyond it.
And a former Republican senator says that abortion is a civil rights issue.
There are elements of this country who question the president's citizenship, who think that his birth certificate is inauthentic. Will you call that what it is, which is crazy talk?
With near double-digit unemployment and a weak economy, David Gregory shows NBC's priorities.
We're sweeping the nation and the globe for all the latest news.
Tons of breaking news happening right now in the nation's capital and around the world. How are you doing this Monday, Lori London?
I am absolutely fantastic, and it is great to have all of you with us as well. President Obama delivers his second State of the Union address tomorrow night in what's expected to be a tactical shift to the center. Republicans say they want to hear less about everything they've been hearing for the past 2 years when he speaks. But in his own preview, the president tells supporters he will focus on the economy and jobs.
And we brought it to you as breaking news last hour. Rahm Emanuel thrown off the ballot for the mayor of Chicago today by an appellate court panel. A stunning blow to the fundraising leader in this race. An appellate panel ruled 2-1 that Emanuel did not meet the residency standard to run for mayor. Emanuel has said he will appeal that to the state Supreme Court.
Well, a setback for Gabrielle Giffords, the Arizona congresswoman, remains in intensive care after she was shot in the head and may be there longer than expected. Doctors say a buildup of fluid in her brain must go away before she can go on to rehab, but there is no infection. Giffords will continue three-hour therapy sessions a day, which involves sitting, standing, and moving around. Meanwhile, shooting suspect Jared Loughner appears in federal court today to face murder and attempted murder charges.
Over the weekend, President Obama echoed his support for abortion rights, this on the 38th anniversary of the Supreme Court's pro-choice decision in Roe v. Wade. Government should not intrude on private family matters, said the president, adding that he also supports policies to prevent unintended pregnancies. Today, thousands of pro-life Americans will descend on the nation's capital in a protest of that controversial Roe v. Wade decision. And in evidence of the new tone that is taking over, at least we're told is taking over here in the United States Congress, Congressman James Clyburn responded on Meet the Press to Republican House Majority Leader Eric Cantor, saying that Republicans need to act like grown-ups when it comes to budget cuts.
You heard Leader Cantor say, unless we get serious spending cuts, you're not going to get a vote to increase the debt limit. But he won't be specific on where the cuts will be, but everything is on the table. Do you think a government shutdown is possible? You think that's, I mean, the president's talking about innovation and competitiveness. Are Republicans prepared to shut down the government?
I don't think they are. It may be possible, but not probable. I would say to Leader Cantor that he should get on the same page with Speaker Boehner. We've got to be grown-ups about this. You know, I would argue that what we see now is what the president really is, rather than what we saw 2 years ago. The president came into office having to react to a crisis, and he was, in fact, in a crisis mode. We were at a place where we had never been before. Not unlike the 1930s, but unlike the 1930s. So the president had to respond, react. He is now creating, he is moving an agenda, the kind of thing
but
he
leader,
talked about
that
in
may
the
be
campaign.
The case. He did not have to do health care.
Well, it seems to me that since the Democrats have called for a more civil tone, that it has been the Democrats that have been the most uncivil. We had one Democrat comparing Republicans to Nazis. Now we have another Democrat saying that Republicans need to grow up.
Well, Charles Krauthammer has slammed what he believes to be the media's bogus call for civility, asking where all these civil folks were when President Bush was being compared to Hitler.
The worst in uncivil discourse that we have had in the last decade occurred in the Bush years, when the president was vilified, attacked, he was demonized compared to Nazis, he was called Hitler. There was an article in the New Republic, a leading liberal magazine, which began, it was by an editor, I hate George Bush. There I've said it, close quote. Howard Dean, a not insignificant Democrat, the former head of the Democratic National Committee, said openly, I hate Republicans and everything they stand for. That is literally hate speech. I do not remember the Times or the mainstream media all of a sudden wagging a finger and pulling a chin about the rise of uncivil discourse at the time. So I don't take any of this seriously. There was an attempt by liberals, an obscene attempt, to link conservatives with the Tucson shooting through this accusation of civil discourse, and I'm not surprised that uncivil discourse is quite prominent on the left.
And to be fair to the Democrats, a congresswoman had not been shot at that time when those disparaging remarks were said about President Bush.
And it certainly does seem like the rhetoric has heated up.
Yeah. GE CEO Jeffrey Immelt, who was just tapped by the Obama administration as the new top economic advisor, says that he forecasts a gradual improvement in the U.S. economy.
There's no kind of easy button to push to make the economy suddenly better, but every day we see more signs of life. A lot of our businesses outside the United States, which has stayed very strong, but demand for credit's improving a little bit. So I just think we're on a gradual recovery. And business people are a little bit more confident.
So if the economy is improving and you see it in your businesses, what's GE doing to hire more Americans?
So, you know, we hired probably more than 10,000 people in the U.S. last year, several thousand in manufacturing jobs. And so I think we'll continue as our demand grows, as we make new investments. I would say the employment picture for the company will continue to improve.
And GE just making news all over the place, and its parent company is the parent company of MSNBC. And, of course, Keith Olbermann making big news over the weekend.
Yes, he certainly did. Left very abruptly.
Very abruptly. That's putting it kindly. All right, coming up here on America's Radio News, Jason Black. He is an Oklahoma-based sports writer and a sports czar here for America's Radio News Network. We're talking football coming up next.
Oh, goody. And lawmakers. And lawmakers will cozy up for date night tomorrow night. We'll explain.
And Senator George Allen ending speculation on his future. We have the breaking news here that's coming across just moments ago on America's Radio News. We'll have the information for you. This is where America's news breaks.
All the news and hot topics when we come back to America's Radio News. Give you what you want. Ignore what you don't. This is America's Radio News.
Get ready to get informed. You're tuned into America's Radio News. Happy to have you along. I'm Chris Salcedo.
And I'm Lori London. Thank you so much for being with us today on this Monday. Well, the sole U.S. manufacturer of a key lethal injection drug says it's ending production because of death penalty opposition overseas, a move that could delay executions across the U.S. And over the past several months, a growing shortage of the drug, sodium thiopental, has forced some states to put executions on hold. And the problem is likely to get even worse with the announcement from Hospira Incorporated of Lake Forest, Illinois.
Breaking news coming down last hour. Former Virginia Governor and U.S. Senator George Allen today signed and delivered his declaration of candidacy for the United States Senate from Virginia in the upcoming 2012 elections.
A woman suspected of snatching an infant from a New York hospital in 1987 is in custody after surrendering to authorities in Connecticut, and she will face federal kidnapping charges. Ann Pettway turned herself into the FBI office in Bridgeport Sunday morning and is expected to appear in court today in New York. She's suspected of the abduction of Carlina Renee White. After 23 years, White tracked down her real mother, saying she always had a nagging feeling she was brought up by a family she didn't belong to.
And in an interview, Governor Neil Abercrombie of Hawaii, a Democrat who claimed he'd put to rest the birther scandal of President Barack Obama's birth certificate, suggested that a long-form hospital-generated birth certificate for Barack Obama may not exist within the vital records maintained by the Hawaii Department of Health. He said efforts were still being made to track down definitive vital records that would prove Obama was born in Hawaii. And in case you missed it, on Friday, this was big news and very unexpected. Good night and good luck for the last time after 8 years on the air. Keith Olbermann unexpectedly said farewell to his viewers on his show on Friday. Here's just a little bit of his long and expectedly melodramatic departure from MSNBC.
I think the same fantasy has popped into the head of everybody in my business who has ever been told what I've been told, that this is going to be the last edition of your show. You go directly to the scene from the movie Network, complete with the pajamas and the raincoat, and you go off on an existential, otherworldly, verbal journey of unutterable profundity and vision. You damn the impediments and you insist upon the insurrections, and then you emit Peter Finch's guttural, resonant, "So..." And you implore, you will the viewer to go to the window, open it, stick out his head, and yell. Well, you know the rest. Regardless, this is the last edition of Countdown. The program grew and grew thanks entirely to your support, with great rewards for me, and I hope for you, too.
And man, the speculation went wild all weekend long. Was he asked to leave because of the Comcast merger with NBC? What was going on? Nobody really seems to know. And we're hearing that his contract obligations prevent him from speaking about it. So we'll see as the days go on what actually happened with Mr. Olbermann's departure.
And I don't think he can do any broadcasting for a certain amount of time after that. So he may be laying low for a while. Yeah. Well, for eight decades, Americans were prodded to get up, move, and get fit. Famous for his exercise show, swimming from Alcatraz to San Francisco at 60 years old while towing a barge with his teeth, fitness guru Jack LaLanne passed away yesterday at his home in Morro Bay, California. He was 96 years old, and with all the grace with which he closed out his exercise shows on television.
You know what time it is?
It's time to leave you. Let's say goodbye. These precious moments just seem to fly. Now here's my wish for you. May the good Lord bless and keep you too.
One of the quotes that I
was great.
Oh. One of the quotes I remember from Jack LaLanne is that, hey, you know what? At 96 years old, I can't die. It would ruin my image.
I don't think his image is even ruinable.
No kidding. No kidding. And it was pneumonia that ended up taking him in the end. That's just a tragedy, but a life well lived. Hey, let's head over to the news line right now. Jason Black standing by, an Oklahoma-based sports writer and the sports czar here for America's Radio News. So you know what, Jason? Who are you picking to go to the Super Bowl this year?
Who am I picking to go?
No, who were you picking last week before the games were played over the weekend? Who did you say?
I picked the Steelers and the Packers.
Did you?
Gave me kind of a hard time about it.
I did. You know what? Because I thought the Jets were just too darn lucky this year. But,
well, they almost came back, didn't they? I mean, the Jets, they were down by so much. That first half was just dominated by the Steelers. And then to come back in the second half and have the final be 24-19, really with a chance to win it at the end, Sanchez just, couldn't get it done. And really, you know, that was what you were giving me a hard time about on Friday, was that they beat Manning, then they beat Brady. You're telling me Mark Sanchez can't beat Ben Roethlisberger. Well, right. I mean, really, I think that the Jets' defense was really what their most powerful part of their game is, and they just really couldn't stop Roethlisberger. He's just too hard to bring down, but they tried to come back and even got a safety in that second half, but just couldn't quite pull it off.
Definitely a tale of two halves in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, definitely. And almost it was really the same way in the other game, too, with the Packers and the Bears. I mean, the first half, going into the halftime, the Packers up 14-0, but it seemed like it was 48-0, the way the Packers just dominated the Bears. And then for the Bears to come back with their third-string quarterback, Caleb Haney, to get two scores in that second half, to lose 21-14, for a third-string quarterback to pull that off, not too bad.
Well, okay, so your first prediction was correct. Who's going to win? Who's going to win the Super Bowl?
Gosh, it's the day after. I already got to make a prediction. I think if you asked me today, which you are, I think I'd go ahead and go with the Steelers just because they have that experience. You know, they've already won two Super Bowls, this team has, and Roethlisberger does have that experience, and even though he hasn't played that well in Super Bowls in the past, I still like that Steeler defense. But you really can't say enough about Aaron Rodgers and the way that the Packers are playing. You know, the Packers have a really nice defense too, and And Aaron Rodgers is just playing lights out. So I think that either way, this is going to be a great game, which I'm really looking forward to, and I will actually be down in Arlington for the Super Bowl. But for today, I'm going to pick the Steelers, but I must reserve the right to change my pick leading up to the game.
All right. Jason Black, Oklahoma-based sports writer and sports czar for America's Radio News. We won't hold you to it. Thanks a lot for being on America's Radio News, my friend.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Coming up next, Dr. Tom Price, Republican congressman from the 6th District of Georgia. He's talking about the State of the Union.
And 10 police officers shot across the nation in the last 24 hours. At least two of them are dead.
It's America's Radio News, where America's news breaks.
The big stories and the hot topics are all we talk about. Keep it right here, and you won't miss a thing on America's Radio News. If it breaks in this town, we dig deep till we know the truth. This is America's Radio News.
35 minutes after the top of the hour, this is America's Radio News. Glad to have you along. I'm Chris Salcedo.
Welcome to the show. I'm Lori London. Great to have you with us on this Monday, January 24th. Here's what's happening.
We were spending a lot on credit cards. Everybody was borrowing a lot. Chinese were selling a lot to us.
President Obama says Americans spending more than they have is responsible for this disastrous economy.
The issue of who is a person under the Constitution is a debate that unfortunately defined this country for almost the first 100 years of the country and actually beyond it.
And a former Republican senator says that abortion is a civil rights issue.
There are elements of this country who question the president's citizenship, who think that his birth certificate is inauthentic. Will you call that what it is, which is crazy talk?
With near double-digit unemployment and a weak economy, David Gregory shows NBC's priorities.
We're sweeping the nation and the globe for all the latest news.
Lots of breaking news here in the nation's capital. Great to be with you, Lori London, on America's Radio News.
It is great to be with all of you as well. President Obama delivers his second State of the Union address tomorrow night. It's expected to be a tactical shift to the center. Republicans just say they want to hear less about everything he's been talking about for the past 2 years when he gives the address. But in his own preview, the president telling supporters he will focus on the economy and jobs.
And President Obama reaffirmed his support for abortion rights this weekend on the 38th anniversary of the Supreme Court's pro-choice decision in Roe versus Wade. Government should not intrude on private family matters, said the president, adding he also supports policies to prevent unintended pregnancies. And today, thousands of pro-life Americans will descend on the nation's capital in protest of the controversial Roe versus Wade decision.
Well, Rahm Emanuel, thrown for a loop. He was thrown off the ballot for mayor of Chicago today by an appellate court panel. That's a stunning blow to the fundraising leader in this race. The panel ruled 2-1 that Emanuel didn't meet the residency standard to run for mayor. Emanuel says he is appealing to the state Supreme Court.
And weeks of speculation is over. Former Virginia governor and U.S. Senator George Allen today signed and delivered his declaration of candidacy for the United States Senate from Virginia in the upcoming election in 2012. And as we shift for a guy that wants to be an elected official, we're going to a guy who is an elected official, Dr. Tom Price, Republican congressman from the 6th District in Georgia. We're going to talk about the State of the Union. Congressman, welcome to America's Radio News.
Chris, thanks so much. Great to be with you and Lori on your initial day.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you being here. And I wanted to talk to you about what one of your colleagues said about what's going to happen here, this the kumbaya moment, as it's being called by some quarters. A lot of folks in Washington talking about where our elected officials will be sitting at the State of the Union address this week. But at least one congressman doesn't plan to sit and be kissy-kissy, according to him, with Democrats. Congressman Paul Brown, Republican of Georgia, says the Democrats are just trying to trap Republicans.
We're going to have a conference next week, and I'm going to bring that up there. I've already believe very firmly that it is a trap that and a ruse that the Democrats are proposing. They don't want civility. They want silence from Republicans. And the sitting together being kissy-kissy is just another way to try to silence Republicans and also to show to keep the American people from seeing how few of them that they are in the U.S. House now. then when people stand up to what the Democrats are going to be doing when the Barack Obama spews out all his venom, then if they're scattered throughout the Republicans, then it won't be as noticeable as if we're sitting apart. So it is a ruse, and I'm not in favor of it, and I'm talking about it, and I hope other members of the Republican conference in the House will not take the bait.
Congressman Price, what do you think about that?
Well, the fact of the matter is there are no seat assignments in the House of Representatives except for a very, very few of the leadership who sit at the respective leadership tables. But I think what the American people are concerned about is the amount of spending, the amount of debt, the lack of job creation in this country, and the aggressive aspect of Obamacare. And so we're going to be working on policy issues, and hopefully what the president will say is and do is back up some of his speech with real action.
Well, Congressman Paul Brown will be on our show tomorrow, and we will certainly hear more from him on that. But you being a Republican, what does the president need to say to appease Republicans?
I think it's less what the president says, because oftentimes, as you well know, Chris and Lori, he says things that sound pretty doggone good. And then what happens is that the action doesn't match the word at all. So the deed has to match the word. For example, he has oftentimes said, look, I'm willing to work with anybody who's got good ideas about anything. And as a physician through the healthcare process, we asked him every week for over a year for a meeting through the Republican Study Committee, and we're never granted a meeting. So I hope that what the president honestly says is, look, I'm truly interested in working to solve the great challenges we have, because they are incredible, and we need to work together to get them done.
Now, the president has been quick to lay, and a lot of Democrats have been quick to lay the party of no label on the Republicans. And now that they have lost control of the United States House of Representatives, the Democrats seem to be fixed like it, to borrow a phrase, like a laser on the economy and also on jobs. What's your take on the president's tack now that he has Obamacare passed? Now he's going to switch over to the economy and jobs. Do the Republicans plan on holding him accountable for that switch here halfway through his term?
Absolutely, because that's what we've been saying for the last 2 years is where are the jobs? And so we welcome the president to the realization and the recognition that that's what the American people want us to concentrate on here. But it starts first and foremost by decreasing the expansion and the reach and the scope of government and decreasing the spending at the federal level. Every dollar that is spent here in Washington crowds out a dollar or more in the private sector, and that's what the president has to recognize and admit tomorrow night in the State of the Union.
Well, that brings me to the question I was going to ask you, is what should he do to create jobs?
Well, look, we've got to stop the deficit spending. $1.4 trillion deficits each year over the last 2 years. That just is anathema to the American people, and it's destructive to the economy. We ought to be decreasing regulation instead of increasing it. He could do away with every one of his czars, and we'd be better off as a nation. So there are a number of things that we can do very specifically, and we'll be proposing those in our budgetary process and through the appropriations process. We hope we have a positive partner in the president.
Congressman Price, just out of curiosity, before I let you go, are you going to be sitting with a Democrat tomorrow night?
Well, I'm going to sit where I'm assigned to sit in the House leadership area as the chairman of the policy committee. But I'm happy to sit next to whomever sits down next to me.
Very nice.
We're interested in working with everybody who's interested in solving the challenges that we face.
Congressman Dr. Tom Price from the 6th District of Georgia, chairman of the Republican Study Committee. Great to have you on America's Radio News. Look forward to talking to you again, sir.
Thank you, Chris. Lori, take care.
All right, coming up next, corruption plagues a charity backed by Bono.
Wow. Well, coming up, at least 31 people are dead and over 100 more injured in a blast at a Moscow airport.
And more advertising drops away from a controversial MTV show. We'll tell you who's bailing out now as America's Radio News continues.
We're keeping an eye on breaking news so you don't have to. If it breaks today, hear it today when we come back to America's Radio News. If we break the story, you know you've got the details right.
America's Radio News Network.
If you want to get informed, you've come to the right place. Glad to have you along on America's Radio News. I'm Chris Salcedo.
We are on the pulse of the nation's latest news. I'm Lori London on this Monday, January 24th. It is great to have you with us. Well, a slight setback for Gabrielle Giffords. The Arizona congresswoman remains in intensive care after she was shot in the head, and she may be there longer than expected. Doctors say a buildup of fluid in her brain has to go down before she can go on to rehab, but there is no infection. Giffords will continue three-hour therapy sessions a day, which involve sitting, standing, and moving around. Meanwhile, shooting suspect Jared Loughner appears in federal court today to face murder and attempted murder charges.
The controversial MTV show Skins, the show that Parents TV Council said this about, in addition to sexual content to the show involving cast members as young as 15, the PTC counted 42 depictions and references to drugs and alcohol in its premiere episode. Well, this show has not only lost advertising from Taco Bell and Wrigley's Gum, turns out H&R Block is weighing in. The company said in a statement, H&R Block is not an advertiser of this show. One ad ran by mistake as part of a rotation. Once we learned this, we immediately took steps to ensure it didn't happen again. This program is not brand right, and H&R Block did not select it as part of the regular rotation.
Well, audiences were not afraid of committing to No Strings Attached, the romantic comedy, which took the number one spot at the weekend box office for its opening weekend. Ashton Kutcher and Natalie Portman star as friends who try to maintain a purely sexual relationship with each other, even as they find they're falling in love. Last week's number one movie, action comedy The Green Hornet, dropped to second place.
A stunning admission by a Democratic congressman. Congressman Robert Andrews, a Democrat from New Jersey, the chairman of the House Health, Employment, Labor, and Pension Subcommittee, admitted to CNS News that he believes health care costs will increase due to Obamacare, but it will be slower than they've gone up in the past.
So you don't see costs, health care costs, going up at all due to the health care legislation?
I think that health care costs will go up much more slowly than they've gone up in the past. They've been going up at an average of about 8 or 9% per year in the economy, not health insurance premiums, but health care costs. And I think you're going to find that that cost will be bent back toward 5 or 6% over the next 10 or 20 years.
I'm confused because when we were told about Obamacare, we were told the costs were going to go down as a result of this, but it doesn't seem to be the case, and now Democrats are admitting as much.
Well, Chris, nothing's free.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Well, sayonara Keith Olbermann, MSNBC's Rachel Maddow now addressing her cable buddy's departure from Countdown on HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher. She can now extend her show for 2 hours by talking slowly, she said.
Right before I came out, they told me Keith Olbermann is quitting.
Yeah. It's been a big day at MSNBC. At least it's been a big 15 minutes. Keith announced at the end of his show tonight that he and the company made a mutual decision that Countdown is done.
Well, that's always
full. Very well. That's what I mean. The thing is, though, I know very little about it. All I know is that it was between Keith and the company. It wasn't didn't involve any of the rest of us. And he was really gracious and nice when he left.
Once he started backing off worst persons in the world, that
all downhill.
It really is all downhill.
He took it away, and then it came back. And then it had
came back like with a parenthesis. I don't really mean it. You know what? Stop organizing life around the people who don't get the joke. If they don't get a joke. All right. Well, I always enjoyed his show. I hope he comes back.
Rachel can now do 2 hours.
I was going to say, Rachel's got 2 hours.
Well, aside from the classy comments from Mr. Bill Maher, which we've come to expect, I mean, what do you think is going to happen with Mr. Olbermann?
He'll be back.
Do you think so?
But not for a while. I think it's in his contract. He's not allowed to do any broadcasting. He'll be back somewhere, although I don't think it'll be Fox.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's some funny cartoons floating around the internet. If you want to get out there, folks, later today and do some searching about Fox maybe hiring Keith Olbermann. It is a gag, but there are some funny takes on what his next job at Fox might be or what he's qualified for, so check that out. Well, the Olbermann debate continued over the weekend. CNN's Howard Kurtz hosted a lively roundtable on reliable sources to discuss Keith Olbermann's sudden departure from MSNBC last Friday night. David Zerwick of the Baltimore Sun and former MSNBC anchor David Schuster, former NBC anchor, I should say, Mr. Schuster no longer with the company as well. They locked horns fairly early on after Zerwick said Oberman was less Murrow and more McCarthy.
You know, he wanted to be Edward R. Murrow, and he was more McCarthy than Murrow.
Oh, come on, David,
because
there's a false equivalency that you and other folks make between Keith Olbermann and Glenn Beck, and that's not fair.
Let's finish.
I'm going to let you respond just a moment. Finish your point.
I think that he will absolutely attack people and try to assassinate their character, just the way Joe McCarthy did, without facts. And to say that Bill O'Reilly, who has been much more reasonable in the last year than Keith Olbermann ever was on the air, much more responsible, to try to pin that on Bill O'Reilly, link him to that, is outrageous,
David Schuster.
But look, the fact of the matter is there are people who have tried to carry out acts of violence who were inspired by Glenn Beck.
That has not happened with Keith Olbermann.
You're making a moral equivalency between Glenn Beck and Keith Olbermann, and that's simply not fair. And the fact of the matter is, when people say that MSNBC is a liberal antidote to Fox News and that there's an equal balance there, that's simply not true. He was a valuable voice, never mind in terms of the media, in terms of politics. There's so many progressives out there who felt like he was the poetic, literary, intelligent, emotion, and passionate voice for them, and they're looking up now and saying, okay, where do we turn now?
I'm glad things are more civil now.
Yeah, I know. That's the civil tone here across the airwaves and in Washington, D.C. But this can be said about Keith Olbermann. He definitely represented a segment of the United States population.
Well, Chris, you ready for some football?
Oh, yes.
Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger talked about his win over the New York Jets, which sends his team to the Super Bowl against the Green Bay Packers.
Put this win in perspective based on the year you had.
Well, this is we've overcome a lot personally as a team, injuries from top to bottom. So I'm proud of all of us, the way we all pulled through it and found a way to win.
In the fourth quarter, you go on the field. Did you know you were going to be aggressive with the play call in there?
I had an idea. I want the ball. I want the ball in my hands, and I know BAA Coach Tom and those guys have faith and trust in me, and so I appreciate that.
Yeah, I think the Steelers fans want the ball in his hands as well. You know what? This is going to be a great Super Bowl. Storied franchises, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Green Bay Packers. Doesn't get any better than that. Of course, they're playing in the Dallas Cowboys Jerry World, this brand spanking new stadium. It's absolutely awesome, so it ought to be a fantastic
record turnout expected.
Oh, you betcha, you betcha. Well, is this an example of never let a good crisis go to waste? HHS Secretary Kathleen Sebelius discussing the healthcare debate, saying that every American should be entitled to Giffords-type care?
I think it's interesting to have this discussion right after you feature the transfer of Gabby Giffords from Tucson to Houston. All Americans should have that kind of health security. Know that, God forbid, if some tragedy occurred to themselves or their families, they would have the best possible care. Yeah. Members of Congress extended that to a lot of people in America who don't yet enjoy that kind of health security for themselves and their families. And that's really a lot of what this discussion is about.
Kathleen Sebelius taking a lot of heat from right-wing quarters because this is in their minds, a prime example of a Democrat utilizing the crisis in Arizona to advance political gain.
On the other hand, everybody should be entitled to the same care, whether they have the money or not.
Right, right. No, that's one perspective as well. Hey, coming up tomorrow, we're going to be right here in the nation's capital live once again and bringing you up-to-the-minute updates as we're finding out all the ins and the outs of the State of the Union address tomorrow. Of course, one of the big question marks, who from the U.S. Supreme Court will be in attendance tomorrow? We'll give you the up-to-the-minute updates as we get them in here on America's Radio News.
And we'll talk to Representative Paul Brown on why he's not so into date night at the State of the Union.
It has been great having you along. Make sure you're back with us the same time right here tomorrow. This is America's Radio News, where America's news breaks.
Breaking news and the interviews everybody else will talk about. This is America's Radio News.